Let's read together Genesis 13, verses 1 through 9. In this first half of Genesis 13, we have the return of Abraham from Egypt and then his separation from Lot because of strife. Genesis 13, beginning at verse 1. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." All right, let's begin with some background notes now for this first half of Genesis chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 12, we had the call of Abram out from a life of idolatry to become the father of the Jewish people from whom would come the Messiah. In chapter 12, we also saw a lapse of faith on the part of Abraham when he went down to Egypt and lied about his wife to protect his own life. But now in chapter 13, Abraham is back. He's not only back in the land physically, he's been restored spiritually. Look once again at verses 3 and 4. And Abraham went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. So Abraham has come back to Bethel, where he had been at the beginning when he arrived in Canaan. At Bethel, he had built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. We see that back in chapter 12, verse 8. Now we see Abram again building an altar and calling on the name of the Lord. When Abraham was in Egypt, we don't read of him building an altar and calling on the name of the Lord. So we see that Abraham is back in fellowship with the Lord, but now that does not mean that there will be no problems in his life. In verse 7, we read that there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Abraham and his nephew Lot both had a lot of livestock, according to verse 6. We read there, their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Now, some of this wealth, we learn from chapter 12, was acquired when they were down in Egypt. This is the first mention of wealth, by the way, in the Bible. And notice how it is causing strife. This accumulated wealth led to problems between Abraham's cowboys and Lot's cowboys. Maybe if they hadn't gone down to Egypt and acquired these additional flocks and herds, this problem of strife would not have arisen. In any case, it was not a pleasant situation. We see from verse 7 that the local Canaanites and Perizzites were there, and they obviously observed this strife. It was not a good testimony. If Abraham had not come up with a solution, there would have been a family feud and a full-scale range war. But Abraham does come up with a solution. It's to separate from Lot, verses 8 and 9. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." Abraham, in a truly magnanimous gesture, let Lot have the first choice. Would you have done that? Abraham didn't have to do that, but he did. Well, so much for our background notes for this first section of Genesis 13. Now let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number one: God fully restores the backslider who returns. God fully restores the backslider who returns. Now, maybe you never heard the term backslider applied to Abraham before. When Abraham went down to Egypt and lied about his wife to protect himself and did not trust the Lord, this was a lapse of faith on the part of Abraham. And therefore, Abraham was a backslider, because that's the way backsliding is defined. It's a lapse of faith on the part of the believer. But the point here is that God restores the backslider, and not just partially restores the backslider, but is willing to fully restore the backslider who returns. That's the teaching point of verses 3 and 4. Abraham is back at Bethel, the house of God. That's the meaning of Bethel. He's back at Bethel, the house of God, where he was at the beginning. He's back in fellowship with the Lord. He's worshiping the Lord once again at the place of the altar. And he's calling on the name of the Lord, or proclaiming the name of the Lord once again. God fully restored Abraham, who had lapsed in his faith or backslidden in his faith. You know, the same can be true in your case and in my case. Maybe you've lapsed in your faith in some way. Maybe the term backslidden can be applied to you right now. Maybe you're thinking that God does not, or cannot, or will not restore you fully. Listen, God fully restores the backslider who returns. Remember the story of the prodigal son that our Lord told? Certainly this has a secondary application, at least to the backslider today. When the son returned, he wasn't made a servant or an employee or restored to 50% sonship. He was restored to the position of full sonship in the family. God fully restores the backslider who returns. Now, it's true that when we backslide or lapse in faith, we lose time in Christian service. We lose effectiveness in our testimony. And we may lose out on all that God wanted to do with our lives. But that's not the point here. Here it's a matter of fellowship with the Lord in the family of God. As David said in Psalm 23 and verse 3, "He restores my soul. The Lord restores my soul." God fully restores the backslider who returns. Doctrinal or teaching point number 2. Sometimes the best solution to strife is separation. Sometimes the best solution to strife is separation. Abraham decided that in this situation of strife, the best solution was to separate from Lot. There was not enough land for all the flocks and herds. They were not being a good testimony to the surrounding Canaanites. The range war was escalating. Before long, Abraham and Lot would be feuding. So it seemed that the best solution for the strife in this situation was separation. And we see from the rest of the passage that God confirmed Abram's solution. Lot, of course, made a bad choice to move in the direction of Sodom. But that's another matter. Regardless of the choice that Lot made, Abraham made the right decision here to separate. Sometimes the best solution to strife is separation. Well, when do we separate and when do we not separate as a solution to strife? Well, on the one hand, we should always separate if evil and moral corruption of this world are involved. 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." So on the one hand, you always separate if evil and moral corruption of this world are involved. On the other hand, we should never use separation as a solution for strife if it's in reference to a relationship that God has said should stay together. The obvious example here would be marriage. What God has joined together, let not man separate. Matthew 19, verse 6. But now, you see, there are other situations where sometimes the best solution to strife is to separate. Take family situations, for example, as here in the case of Abraham and his nephew Lot, where there is strife between relatives and the problems are getting worse and nothing is getting resolved. Sometimes the best solution to strife is to separate. What about a church situation or a ministry situation where there is strife between two Christians or two groups of Christians? If the problems can be worked out and reconciliation can be attained, great. That's what Paul exhorted the Philippians to do. But sometimes it can't be worked out, or it isn't being worked out. Sometimes the best solution is to separate, at least temporarily. It's not the ideal, but sometimes it's best in that situation. Why destroy the church or ministry? Better to separate. In Acts chapter 15, we read that there was strife between Paul and Barnabas over whether they should take John Mark with them on the second missionary journey. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 39, we read, "Then the contention became so sharp that they parted or separated from one another." There was probably wrong on both sides there in that case. But rather than fight it out and waste valuable time and spiritual energy, Paul and Barnabas separated. And two missionary teams went out. Barnabas and Mark went out as a missionary team, and Paul and Silas went out as a missionary team on Paul's second missionary journey. Far better for that to take place than for them to fight it out and not go at all. Sometimes the best solution to strife is separation. Practical application. Why not go back to square one? Why not go back to square one? I'm sure you've heard that expression before, and I'm sure you understand that expression, square one, right? To go back to square one means to start over again or go back to the beginning. That's what Abram did here when he came back from Egypt. He went back to square one. Abraham had backslidden. He had lapsed in his faith when he went down to Egypt and lied about his wife Sarah. And his increased wealth there in Egypt probably added to the problem. But Abraham realized his problem and he went back to square one. Verse 3 says that he went back to the place where his tent had been at the beginning. And verse 4 says that he went back to the place of the altar, which he had made there at first. The tent speaks of the pilgrim character of the believer. The altar speaks of worship. Some of us need to go back to square one in our faith. We need to recapture that pilgrim character of the Christian lifestyle and not be so entangled in the things of this world. And we need to go back to the altar. We need to go back to the place of worship. You feel that there's something missing in your Christian life? Have you wandered away from the Lord and wandered away from His Word? Why not go back to square one?